Okay, we are at the first quarter mark of this course. Today is class number, This is class number 4, and it is December 1st, 2016. So before we go into any protocols, I wanted to wait to actually speak to the two of you directly, since I knew we were going to be meeting this week. And what I'd like to extend to both of you is that you may have noticed in my email campaign that I was doing a special Thanksgiving sale. Did either of you see that in the emails that I'd been sending right before Thanksgiving?
Yes, I saw that.
Okay. Barb, did you?
Yep.
Okay. And so what I'd like to offer you is, if you want to add any additional hours to what you already have as a package with me, then just shoot me a quick email and I would be more than happy, because the two of you are my VIP, in my VIP inner circle. If you'd like the Thanksgiving special pricing of $100 an hour, which, as you know, is a rather radical discount, then you are welcome to grab up as many as you like. The only thing that I request is that you let me know today, because the sale officially ended on Monday, and I just want to close that energetic loop, but wanted to wait until I spoke to the two of you directly. Do you think the two of you might have your answer sometime tonight, where you can just shoot me an email, or do you need more time to look over the great coffers that you have?
Right, yes. I don't remember how much time I still have. I still have a good chunk of time, I think.
Yes, you do. You do. You do. But I mean coffers, meaning financial coffers, not time coffers. So do the two of you feel like you might be able to know sometime tonight and just send me an email, or do you need a little more time?
I can do it tonight.
Okay, great. Okay, so do I need to remind you, or can you just put a notation to shoot me an email, let's say, by how 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time? That's when my assistant and I are going to close up shop for tonight.
Sure. By 6, I can do it.
You can do it by 6? How about you, Barb, darling?
Yes.
Okay. So either just tell me either way, yes or no. And if it is a yes, then just tell me how many hours. And if it's a different credit card than what I have on, that you know I have on file, just, you know, tell me that you need to get me a new card. And that way I know that we can close the Thanksgiving chapter and begin another chapter. Okay?
Right.
Okay.
All right, ladies. So let us begin with our purpose of the course. And I like to continue doing what we've been doing, which is that each of you read it out loud. Do you like doing that when you read it out loud?
Sure, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes.
How about you, Mary? Do you like doing that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it accomplishes something. So who wants to go first by reading the full purpose, and then the next person will read it right afterwards?
Well, I can start this time.
Good.
Of this course is to bring your spiritual power into your next expansion ring of manifested success projects, both personally and professionally, to continue to strengthen your sense of sovereignty in you creating the life that you want, and to build and experience palpable momentum in creating the life that you long to live, both personally and professionally.
Beautiful. Thank you. Strong. Doesn't she sound strong, Mary?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Looks like something's working over there on the East Coast. Okay, Mary, honey, your turn.
Bring your spiritual power into your next expansion ring of manifested success projects. To continue to strengthen your sense of sovereignty in creating the life that you want, to build and experience palpable momentum in creating life that you long to live, personally and professionally.
Okay. So let's begin now with the inner dive of doing your full soul alignment process. So I'd like one of you to tell me what are the components, not the actual steps, just the components, the phases of what I mean when I say the full soul alignment process or the full soul alignment protocol. Who'd like to go for it? I've said it a gazillion times, so you have it somewhere in your subconscious mind, if not your conscious mind.
Well, you want to start, Barb?
Management thing.
Barb, I need you to talk louder into the phone. You're a little distance this time.
Okay.
Oh, that's great. What did you do?
I picked up the phone.
Okay. Thank you. All right, who wants to go? To just tell me the phases of what constitutes the full soul alignment protocol.
That
bend down the grounding.
Who's going to do
Barb?
No, we might have to do this together. I mean, the steps, you know, I know the steps. And so, like, there's an energy management component. Is that the kind of thing you're looking for?
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Keep going.
Well, my intention is sending out my grounding cord and calling, having the blue flame surround me, reciting the protection prayers, calling my soul home, doing the center of the head exercise, and calling upon the transmissions of grace.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. I could sort of considered those the steps, so that's why I wasn't going that way.
Right. So now, Barb, please tell me the soul alignment protocol, the full soul alignment protocol.
Sending down my grounding cord, surrounding myself with white light protective layer, and then a blue flame protective layer. Sending out my protective prayer, calling my soul home, the center of the head exercise, cleaning out my head, and calling on the transmissions of grace.
There you go. So I've just, the typing you heard in the background is I typed it out for you, and now it's in the Facebook group. So, of course, you know to always please be in the Facebook group when we do our classes. And I'm going to leave it in there so that you can find this in the future. The full protocol is, can you see what I just typed in there? It should be right under our signature graphic. Do you see it? Okay. So, Barb, do you see it in the Facebook group? It's the post right underneath our signature graphic.
Yes.
Okay, good. So when I say energy management, I'm going to review this because, as you know, my attitude about this course is to have you really become expert at the various tools that you're learning so that they become so much a part of your daily life of things to do when you need them. So I repeat and I repeat and I repeat because that's the only way to learn this stuff. Would you agree about that?
Yes.
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 So the energy management steps, that number one in the full soul alignment protocol, that actually consists of four sections. And later I'll put those subsections in this Facebook post. Basically, the first segment is putting down the grounding cord and the tubes of light extending from the soles of your feet. Step number two of the energy management formula is the ball of light above your head, and then that releases this exquisite, potent river of light that fills you up like water in a glass. Step number three of the energy management formula is the allowing a section of that riverlet of light to fork right in the center of your chest so that it goes out into this space around your body, exiting from the inside out. So this river of light is coming down to the top of your head. Most of it continues to fill your body up to your toes, to your nose, to your fingertips, to your ears. However, there's just one little sliver that forks, makes a U-turn, so that it leaves the center of your chest, goes out into the space around your body, creating this exquisite cocoon of light. Right? You got that part?
Okay, yep.
And then part of step number three also includes bringing in the blue flame, where the blue flame sits on top of that light cocoon. And then with your three exhalations, you are completely surrounding yourself with this blue flame. Now that brings us up to step three of the energy management formula. Step four of the energy management formula is the activation step. The activation step is where you create the inner video of what it is you want to experience. So whether it's you want to find a parking spot and you keep visualizing and visualizing and visualizing, even with your eyes open as you're driving around a block looking for a parking spot, or you are creating a visualization over time for a bigger goal, you know, a certain amount of money, certain number of new clients, handling a prospective speaking gig offer with charisma and all that sort of thing. So that's why there are four steps in the energy management formula. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
So somebody tell me, what is step number one?
I have more than four steps. The grounding cord, the tubes of white light coming from the feet.
That's right. That's step number one. Perfect. What's step number two?
The ball of light above my head releases a river of elixir to surround me.
Not surround you. To fill you up. Yeah. Right. Now what's step number three?
Allow the light to take a fork from out of my chest out into space and creates a cocoon of light.
Yes, and what else?
And the blue flame above my head. Exhale three times and it will surround me.
Perfect. And what's step number four?
The activation step.
And what is that? Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Of a of goals achieved.
Yes, desired outcomes, exactly. Okay, is she right, Mary?
Yes. Yes, I was answering, and then I thought, oh, I'm not being heard, because I put myself on mute. I was coughing.
Okay, thank you for that. I'm sorry you're coughing. And yes, great job, Barb. You got it.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the protective prayer is part of something that you do, but it's not necessarily part of the energy management formula. It's part of the entire soul alignment protocol. So that prayer is something that you can put in at any time, and you might just get in the habit of saying it after you do the full energy management formula. And then you do your call your soul home, you do your center of head, and then you do the transmissions of grace. Now, the protective prayer part can also include you calling upon your soul to make herself known to you. So I'm going to put for number 2 in the full soul alignment protocol, protective shield and calling upon your own soul, so that you get in the habit of partnering with your soul, because our guides and angels are secondary to the relationship we have with our own higher self. Your higher self is your best friend. Your guides and angels are here to help you and your best friend. Got that?
Okay, thank
yes.
you.
Okay, great. All right, so now that we've reviewed that, that's what we're doing in this fourth session, is taking another broad sweep review of some highlights. So let's have you go ahead and activate all steps of the protocol. I do have it there on the Facebook page in case you want to take a peek at it. And when you have all completed your four steps, then please just say ready, and we will go from there.
Ready.
Great.
Ready.
Okay. So let's just quickly talk about highlights of what you experienced when you did the full protocol. We'll make it very simple. Who'd like to go first?
I will.
Mm-hmm.
It was very calming and energizing at the same time. And it was interesting when I was doing the power washing, how my head has felt full of cobwebs and I was in there cleaning stuff up. We'll get you ready for your pristine thinking. And the transmissions of grace came and installed me in this beautiful desk in the clouds with my quill pen.
Ah, wonderful.
I'm ready to work.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. How about you, Barb?
Well, I have... even though I haven't exactly called on the transmissions of grace, they're involved in the center of the head cleaning. They sweep stuff into the grounding cord, and another part of the crew is washing down my head and the windows, so I can
clean
now.
And how does it? How does the whole process leave you feeling? All the entire protocol before and after.
Tingling and ready to move forward.
Okay. So is ready to move forward a feeling of what? Motivation?
Yes.
Is that what you mean when you say ready to move forward?
Well, I guess to discover what else we're going to do in this session.
What are you really saying? Are you saying you're impatient? Are you saying that you're bored? Are you saying that you are open and interested in learning something new? What is the emotion underneath?
Open to learning something new.
Okay, great. And so you will. Wonderful. Okay. So, anything else you want to add, and Mary, with regards to the before and after? Because that would be helpful for the next question I'm going to ask.
No.
Okay. So, the handouts for today are the ones that we've been using all along. The handout from class number one, where we go into a long detail about the offer. And if you can't get your hands on that right away, I've also uploaded it again into our Facebook group so you can just quickly download it there or just use it as a preview. You're not going to be writing in it. We're just using it as a skeletal structure for some of what we're going to be doing next. The other is the enrollment class, the role-playing class handout. Same thing. It's in the Facebook group. So do you need a moment to get all those in front of you, whether it's from the Facebook group or in a binder that you've created for this?
Oh, I've got it.
Okay, good. How about you, Mary?
Yes, I have them.
Great. Okay. So now what I want to do is talk about any recollections you have over the last 2 weeks since we spoke last, where you used any part or all of this soul alignment protocol. Even just one time where you went ahead and did that, where you thought, whoa, I better use my soul alignment protocol. Or if you're already doing it as part of your morning routine, whichever. I just want to get an idea of how it's working for you.
Well, I do it as part of my getting up in the morning routine.
Good.
I find that when I'm under stress, I will call on the transmissions of grace. And when I want to be really centered, I will make sure that I've sent down my grounding cord.
Perfect. And when you do send down your grounding cord, describe how it makes you feel, and don't use the word grounded.
Okay, it anchors me.
Yeah, there you go. Okay,
and
good.
Gives me this visual of I have security, I'm attached, and I have a column of strength.
Magnificent. How about you, Barb? Aside from the transmissions of grace, which I'm so glad that you're calling upon it, you can notice that they're responding. Is there any other part of the soul alignment protocol that you notice that you gravitate towards in real day-to-day life?
Well, I do send down the grounding cord also. When I'm feeling anxious, when an emotion kicks in and those feelings down the grounding cord.
Great. Good. So the bottom line is you both seem to feel comfortable enough with the impact that the components of the Soul Alignment Protocol have for you, and you're remembering to use parts of it. That's what I'm hearing, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's critically important, because the more you start stretching outside your comfort zone, especially, whether it's in your personal life and or your professional life, having this soul alignment protocol right there at your fingertips is really going to be helpful. Do you see how that might be?
Yes.
Yes.
Good. Good. Okay, let's now talk about going back from when we first started in October, and let's just hear you tell a few of the highlights of what you have experienced and learned in this first quarter of the course. Now, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because I want you to be able to use, to be reminded to have a deeper, savvy facility of using the information that we've covered so far. Because as we move forward, the whole point is for you to have a solid foundation to add more information on top of it, okay? So just take a moment, if you want to jot a few notes down, some key words, so that when I call on you, you can share what has really stuck out in your mind as great stuff since we started the course. Who wants to go first, or should I give you a minute to think about it?
Let me get my thoughts together.
Okay. So let me know when you're ready by just saying ready, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Well, I have found,
Thank you. Do you need another minute, Mary? That's okay
no,
if you do.
Barb can go ahead. Barb can go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Barb.
What have things that have stood out for me, and it's not always, sometimes these are from our one-to-one sessions that then flow into this. Revising my beliefs that I have something of value to offer to the right person. And if people don't get it, they aren't the right person. The chakra exercise of visioning, having a symbol of the successful project completion, and the video of the emotion surrounding achieving that has been very, very helpful, very, very different. And sometimes if I can't listen to you doing it, I try to remember enough of it to tell myself the process so that I can do that at any time.
Are you talking about the belief process at any time?
Well, I use that belief process, too, at any time, you know, that I have something of value and I can listen to someone else because I have two ears and one mouth, and listen for their values and then stand in my truth. And so those have helped with my intolerables of being afraid of stepping out, afraid of rejection, afraid of making a mistake. But then the chakra, you know, embedding the symbol and the emotion video in each chakra. Has been very useful. And as I say, if I can't be listening to you say it, then I try to do it on my own.
Yeah. Fabulous. Anything else that comes to mind, Barb? And I'll come back to you in a minute if you can't think of anything else.
I don't have anything else right this minute.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. How about you, Mary, dear, the highlights of these first four sessions?
I agree that the chakra meditation with the embedding the symbol and the emotion video, achieving success, that's every time I do it, it's like I have a big cheering section in my head. And it was interesting, the mindfulness bell I've had going on and over Thanksgiving weekend when my husband was around, it would chime and he would kind of look like, that's from your phone? And I said, yeah, from my phone. And also stating the intolerables and really breaking it down to what are the strategies that I'm going to do to eliminate those intolerables.
Great. Great. So now when we're going to talk more about the mindfulness bell, but let's go back to the chakra meditation. That was another question was, have any of you listened from the website, the archive website for this class? It was class number 2, where we had just the meditation link. Did any of you listened to that again since we last met, or have you just been doing the exercise from memory?
No, I've listened.
No, I downloaded it. So I've been listening to you.
Okay, great. And is that what you were going to say, Barb?
Yes.
Great. So the two of you have listened to that meditation from the recording since last time we spoke, right?
Right.
Yes.
Wonderful. Yay. Okay, now let's talk about the mindfulness bell. I'd like to hear what you do when you hear it. What do you think is what I mean by what you do? And how does it affect you when you are reminded of whatever it is that you think about? Who would like to go first?
I will.
Mm-hmm.
So when the bell goes off, I will think, higher self, what do I need to know right now?
Mm-hmm.
And the pens in my hand project. What do I need to do to complete, to get you into action?
To get you into action to completion. Is that what you're basically asking? Okay.
Yes.
You might want to write it down that way so that it's a real smooth thought. What do I need to do to get you to completion?
Yes.
Great. And then what happens? Give us some highlights of things that have happened after you set out those intentions when the bell goes off.
Well, my higher self has been encouraging me to be compassionate with myself, that I physically can't do what I wanted to do this weekend, and just have patience. And my project is like, okay, you don't have to do hours and hours. Just spend 15 minutes organizing your thoughts, and that's what I've been doing, doing small chunks.
Wonderful. Now, when you are talking and asking about your project, are you talking to the soul essence of your project, or are you talking generically to your higher self?
I'm talking to the soul essence of my project.
Okay, beautiful. And do you notice any kind of feeling difference between when you are communicating with your higher self versus when you're communicating with your soul essence?
And my higher self is more of an aura, just there, and the essence of my project has more solidity.
Wonderful. So you notice a difference.
Yes.
Now, how does that make you feel that you notice a difference? I mean, I'm kind of giving away the answer, but I can't help it.
I am pretty darn intuitive, and I'm pretty close to my higher self and my project.
Your soul essence project, right?
Yes.
That's fabulous. Awesome. Okay. All right, Barb, darling. Anything else, Mary, that you want to add at this point about using your mindfulness bell? Okay. All right, Barb, honey. So the question is, what do you notice and doing, thinking, intending, reminding yourself of when your mindfulness bell goes off?
Well, I'm surprised at how fast an hour goes. I think, well, didn't you just go off? And I stop and breathe and be aware, be in the moment, and ask my higher self, what do I need to know right now? And then also, I have a little more trouble connecting with the soul essence of the project, but I do ask, what do I need to do right now on the project? And so sometimes I'm working in the project right then, and occasionally one or the other spirit says, well, you go, girl. You're on the right track.
Wonderful. 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 So what I would suggest you do, Barb, is to at least once have a standalone session with yourself where you get into your grounded space and you ask to have a message or a feeling or some indication that your higher self is with you, and just notice what you notice, and then complete that intention or complete that part of the exercise by saying, okay, now I'm complete. My higher self is with me. I notice this, this, and this. Now I ask to have, an experience of the soul essence of my project. Make yourself known to me. And notice the difference. Mm-hmm. It's like when I did a process similar to that for myself, I wanted to see if I could notice the difference between tuning into my higher self versus my guardian angel. And I did. My higher self was, I'm very visual, so my higher self was any number of symbols at different times that were either inside my body, or sometimes it was seeing my little inner child and on a swing, and depending upon how she was swinging, depending upon what expression was on her face, I could tell what kind of mood was going on deep inside me that my higher self wanted me to be aware of so that I could make different choices, right? You with me so far?
Yes.
So sometimes it was a symbol of my higher self inside of me, and sometimes my higher self was guiding me to check in on the energies of my little inner child. When I called upon my guardian angel, that was an image that I could never have come up with out of my conscious mind. It was a set of golden wings, angel wings that were like 4 yards in front of me, or 6, 7, 8 yards in front of me, and they were spanned out and they were flapping, as if to radiate this exquisite energy towards me. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mary, are you there? She's on mute. And so that was how I was able to determine the difference between when I was tuning into one or the other. So my point to you, Barb, is that you'll have also something that will be a distinction between one energy form versus another. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So, Mary, are you there? Just say something.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. All right, now we're going to move on to the next set of focuses that we've been working on, and that is your journal. So let's just hear one or two things about how working with this journal impacts you. And I don't want to give you examples because I don't want to condition you. Just tell me how working on your journal, your psychic intuitive energy management journal, impacts you. Who wants to go?
I will.
Yeah.
It helps me get deeper with the emotions. It's not just recording, oh, this happened and blah, blah, blah. And it's really getting into what's the motivation, how is this serving me, what can I do better, what can I do differently.
How is what serving you?
Whatever my behavior, my reaction, or what am I tolerating, and why is it serving me that I would allow this to happen?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And like a secondary gain, is that what you're talking about?
Right.
Okay, good. So the journal is doing what for you? How would you distill it down?
It's another avenue into the subconscious.
And what does that do for you? What's the big deal about getting in touch with your subconscious?
Being in touch with raw emotion and what I am feeling about what I want to achieve and the fear of that's holding me back from actually going for things.
What was that last part, holding you back to what?
Actually going for whatever I want to do.
Yes, yes. Okay. And do you notice that the journal has any impact on your ability to call upon your intuition or to recognize your intuition when your intuition responds?
It's closer to the surface. It's not just, oh, it's buried deep. It rises up more easily.
Great. So would you say that the journal is helping you have clearer access to your intuition? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, and what about the energy management work? Energy management is the grounding, it's doing the chakra exercise, anything that has to do with directing energy.
I get energized with the chakra meditation, and it also is calming in the placing, embedding the symbol is just reassuring, and it's such a beautiful metaphor for, yeah, the pen's in your hand. And so it's a great tool for both energy and calm for me.
Great. Part of the calm is because you're balancing your chakras. That's something that is automatically happening because you're letting go out of each of the chakras any energies that are no longer serving you, either from past lives or this current life. It's a intention to keep purging you, clearing you out of crud. So part of the calmness is the result of letting go of toxicity, essentially. You see what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So right. Exactly. That's partly why you feel calmer and more centered. Beautiful. Okay, Barb, how about you?
I use the journal to capture the experiences of having done the meditations or hearing the bell, capturing the things that happen that indicate that the process is working, you know, encountering the right people, and you know, celebrating that and thankful that I have evidence that the process is working for me.
Mm-hmm. So it's confidence.
Yes.
Exactly. That's really the anything else about using the journal for you, Barb dear?
You know, sometimes I go ahead and explore further. I go to write a certain thing, and then it grows on to expand into other things.
So it becomes a creative catalyst, sort of?
Yes, yes.
I mean, is that the point you're making?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, great. All right, and so that is a lot of why I wanted this journal to be such an important pillar of this course, is because you cannot deny the fact that you are getting intuitive messages. You cannot deny the fact that when you apply the energetics, whatever exercise that might be, that there really is a response which equals confidence, which equals personal power, which equals courage, which equals going for what you want, which equals you living an empowered life.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you name it, meaning writing it down, you're naming it, whatever the it is, you own it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you own it, the parts of you that are trying to protect you by keeping you hidden, by keeping you not important, by keeping you wrong, those parts are losing that argument. Because your journal is showing you the opposite. Did that make sense, guys?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So how do you like that?
I like it.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. So that journal is like you taking notes on a research project where you're analyzing a product that you want to bring out into the public. And the more you keep writing in your notes, that when you take step X, you get result Y, then you have the confidence to go out there and say, okay, here is my product Y, me. And you've got confidence that it's not just wishful thinking, it's real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why the journal is something that is so powerful on so many levels. Okay, moving on. The next thing that I want to talk about is, let me get my list here. So how are you doing with the negative belief awareness, staying vigilant on looking out for negative beliefs, and are you using the exercise that you learned in the client enrollment course of replacing a negative belief with a positive belief? How is that going?
When I catch myself, I find it effective. The movie Pollyanna was on, I don't know, on PBS last week. Maybe it was Thanksgiving night. And
mm-hmm.
she believed in playing the, I think she called it the happy game, so that out of any situation, there was something to be happy about.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that very attractive. And so yesterday I was, for example, I was caught in the rain after a meeting, and the subway was slow and whatnot. And I said, well, you know, I have an umbrella. you know, I'm glad I brought an umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy about that. I'm on the subway in Boston, and I haven't got a seat, but I have a good place to hang on to. That you know, we're packed in there; we aren't likely to tip over. But some spots are harder to hang on to than others, and this was a good spot for me to be able to grasp onto. So I was trying to put that into practice.
But what aspect of it were you wanting to put into practice in related to the positive belief replacing a negative belief?
Yes, finding something positive in this negative situation.
Okay, so that's not necessarily the exercise. However, it certainly is a byproduct of being aware of something negative or undesirable, let's call it that, and choosing not to stay in that stuck place, but finding a more higher vibration, a more positive way of looking at it, a positive belief to replace it. So you're getting the essence of the exercise. You see what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Can you think of anything else that you've done, Barb, where it might have been you actually replacing a positive belief with a negative belief with a positive one?
That no one wants what I have to offer. You know, I should just hang this all up, and I'm not saying it right or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
replacing that with, I have something of value to offer to the right person.
Great. That's perfect. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Good for you. So is that working for you? I mean, do you enjoy when you catch yourself, or does it seem like hard work, like you're just pounding away at cement?
It's very liberating and lightens my spirit.
Great. Great. Because what is happening is you are asserting personal power. You are asserting your power to choose. You are asserting your self-love, that you're not going to stay in a funked out place. You're going to go for something that is more self-loving, and you're going to search to see what that would be. What do you need to think? What do you need to physically do? What do you need to believe that will rise you up, okay?
Yes.
That's what's happening there. Beautiful. How about you, Mary? What's your experience with the positive-negative belief exercise?
Well, I have been doing the, if it was negative, I blew it up with the dandelion mm-hmm. and replaced it with a positive. Turn it around as feeling like I'm not sure if the proposal, I wasn't getting a response to the proposal that I had sent, and contacting the office that I just got, well, she's been out of the office and she'll get back with you. And I said, well, I really want to talk to her and I'd like to set up an appointment so that it was on the schedule. I took more initiative and asserted that this was something that I wanted to get taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what happened?
we had the conversation, and she liked the way I had laid things out. However, circumstances had changed that she wasn't ready to move forward. So we have another date in January to talk about it again.
Okay, and the appointments are in the books, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. So you're using that to empower yourself as well, is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, now let's move on to the mindset in your client enrollment packet. The mindset of a successful entrepreneur with a with an offer of value. Have you looked over that beginning part of your client enrollment workbook where we go over the mindset?
Yes. But now I don't remember what page that was on.
Yeah, I'm looking at it too. How about you, Barb? Have you been looking that over?
Well, I've been trying to practice that positive belief.
Barb, can you please get closer to the phone, please?
Sorry.
Yeah.
I've been trying to practice that positive belief and embed that. And I see
it's on page four. It's on page four. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's on page four. You're trying to believe what that says is what I'm hearing you say.
Yes.
And so how is that going for you?
It's helping because I realize that this is a journey, and that, for example, not everyone is going to be in my target audience, and not everyone is going to get it, and that's okay. Just move on to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been braver, I think, about going up to people and starting a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And when you've been braver, what kind of conversation have you had with them? What sort of results have come from some of those conversations?
Well, one conversation in a networking situation led to a coffee chat,
mm-hmm.
which led to being invited to be a guest at a conference this week in Boston so that I could meet with other people of that firm. And they were exhibiting, so it was a little hectic for them to try to pull that off. But I did have some very good conversations. And now I'm going to go to their headquarters, which is just outside of Boston, on December 20th and talk further. And so they're excited about the idea of my being able to offer lunch and learns because they don't have anybody who talks about copyright. So it's just so rewarding to hear people get it and want to do something with it.
Exactly. So now, what do you feel has caused that momentum? Do you understand my question? Do you see why I'm phrasing it that way?
The going to the initial networking event right after we had revised my belief system, and that I have something of value to offer to the right person, and listen to what they do, what values they have, ask them questions. I have just been in a better mindset, I guess you would say. So
completely. Yeah, go ahead.
It feels as if I'm attracting the right things.
Exactly, and you are. And this is what is meant by momentum. You see, Barb? I mean,
yeah.
I want you to understand the cause and effect that's taking place here.
Yep. So it's exciting. It's very encouraging. It's a little out of the comfort zone, but yet it's things that I'm familiar with and passionate about. The idea of being able to teach, and So it just seems like things are falling into place.
Yes, they definitely are. So you see how the mindset, the belief, is now creating realities that match that belief. Do you see that?
Yes, yes. And that's... Just so I don't know, amazing or surprising or exciting, all of those.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's called magic. You know, some people call it magic because it's completely coming from thin air.
Yep.
Excellent. Yay, Barb!
Yeah, I'm excited. Yes.
Well, that's probably what we're hearing in your energy, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think so too. Okay, wonderful. All right, let's move on to the next thing to review here, and that is intolerables. Let's talk about intolerables. And the way I want you to address this is just tell us where you might be stuck on any of the intolerables so I can give you some coaching. So does that mean that your intolerables are all coming along, you know, that you've listed them and you're applying certain strategies and you're just doing fine? That's great if that's the case.
Well, I believe I've made some progress with the top ones about being afraid to step out and whatnot. Sometimes I still have trouble with focus, sort of being overwhelmed. There are a lot of possibilities, and which ones to focus on first.
Okay, good. We'll talk about that. That's great. That's appropriate for us to talk about that because we all face that in one way or another. Mary, let's go back to you. I realize that you had not chimed in about your experience of focusing on the mindset that's written on page 4 in our client enrollment course.
Oh, I feel that it's been a cumulative mindset, sacred intention, that I have been showing up as the writing mentor, and as a result, people who have seen me over the years, and I have kept showing up as your writing mentor, have approached me about writing projects.
Right. And how does that tie into you embracing, you know, absorbing the beliefs that compose this mindset piece?
It's manifestation in reality of what I have been working on and shifting the belief that, well, what do I have to offer to, I have 30 years of experience as a journalist asking questions that are of value.
Mm-hmm. So is there one particular mindset that I've written in there that it really seems to be helping you the most right now on your journey? One or two of them?
Let's see. Well, your role is to get them to the truth of what they really want. And just being the reflection that I'm on their side and their ally, committed to helping them get what they want.
Great. And what is it about that that works for you so deeply?
Because that's my mission and my purpose, is to help them recognize that they have a story that's uniquely their own and no one else can tell it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that is your essence, your true purpose essence is the light of truth, remember?
Yes.
Okay. Great. All right, now let's move to the intolerable for you, Mary, and then I'll come back to you, Barb, with what you had stated. Which intolerable are you working on now, Mary?
The one about getting my boundaries so that I am working on what's important, what I view as important, and not being bombarded with, wouldn't you want to take part in this? This, you'll have visibility here. Wouldn't you want to do this? It'll only take a little bit of your time, and we could, it would help your profile. And I'm evaluating getting on another bandwagon, as opposed to, is this really, do I really need to put my energy and time into that bandwagon?
So what would you call that intolerable?
The people who I will no longer tolerate people assuming I'll give away my talent and expertise because I'm hungry for visibility, exposure, and experience.
Okay, say that one more time slowly so I can really track the words, please.
I will no longer tolerate people assuming I'll give away my talent and expertise because I'm hungry for visibility, exposure, and experience.
Great. And so what are you implementing that is having you resolve that intolerable? Because the way that these intolerables exercise works is we identify what it is that we're done with, and then we identify the steps we're going to take so that we are, in fact, done with them. Right?
Right.
So it's clear what you want to be done with. So what are you implementing as a strategy to monitor that?
Being very diligent in deleting invitations to join summits and be part of virtual events when it's not even someone that I have been tracking. It's just, it feels like it's random stuff, so that it's easy to delete that. And having a conversation with my higher self if there's something that I think could be a possibility, but I want to make sure that it's it fits into the overall, the major plan.
Okay. And so do you feel like you're on track enough with that intolerable where you want to move to a different intolerable, or are there aspects of things that come up that you'd like me to help you with some coaching here?
Well, there's aspects, because there's one gal that has really been calling me, and I saw her in person, and she was like, I thought you were going to be taking part in this. She wanted me to be a group leader for this thing. And while I empathize with the whole philosophy that they have, I just don't feel that I have bandwidth to go in there and spend the time that other people are doing in there.
Yeah, what would be in it for you, really and truly?
Well, it would be another place where it would be visibility and exposure. But you'd have to be in there a lot for anyone to really connect.
And forget it. Forget it.
And I'm not willing to do that.
Good. Good, good, good. Right now, the attitude really has to be, what's going to bring me money the fastest? Because money to me is love. Love from the outer world to match all the love that you're pouring into the outer world. And I think that you learned your lesson with the Sandy, whatever her last name is, where, you know, you played a certain role there, but you really were never hired by anybody that I can remember. I mean, she noted you on some project a while back. Am I imagining this? Am I remembering this correctly?
Yes.
So, unless you're finding that the group of people will get a good blast of who you are and they need what you do and they're wanting what you do, it's just not on purpose for you, which is exactly what you're saying, correct?
Correct.
Good for you. So it sounds like you don't need any coaching from me on that other than what I just said, right?
Right.
So if you're ready to move on to a different intolerable that you feel like your instincts are really engaged to protect yourself and set up boundaries, then just list in the Facebook group, you know, sometime soon, like maybe tonight even, or when you get back to me as to whether or not you want to add some Thanksgiving hours, use that as a reminder to write on the intolerables thread, which is, you know, much down, further down on the Facebook group page, the new intolerable that you're focusing on, okay?
Okay.
If you're ready to move on, if you feel like you're still kind of weak and there are some places in this intolerable that come out of your blind spot and decenter you, then, you know, tag my name on that thread and I'll give you some more coaching if you want some, okay?
Okay.
Good. Now, back to you, Barb. So what you're saying is that you still find that you're not flowing as well as you like with an organized approach to your priorities and your time allocations, and it triggers an emotional frazzle kind of feeling. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So my coaching is that what we all have to do is to establish the compartments of how we use our time that's going to bring us the greatest rate of return for our efforts. And what's included in that is timing. So if something is time sensitive, then that's typically a priority, right?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So this, I think for you, a good place to start, and the same with Mary, if you want further coaching where this intolerable is just still not in flow enough, then just write me something on the intolerable thread in the Facebook group, and I will give you further coaching beyond what I'm about to say, okay?
Great, thank you.
Absolutely, and so here's the thing. The night before the next day's activities, take a look at which are the actions that are going to bring you the greatest result, and the categories of results goes like this. Money, you know, income, referral potential, visibility potential, i.e. like what's happening already, they asked you to come out to their thing to do a lunch and learn project, right?
Right, right, right.
So another category is visibility. That would be an example of visibility. Another example would be lead generation for clients. So that's networking in the right group. It's following up with people, either from referrals or you've met them and now you're going to follow up, right?
Right.
So those are the kinds of compartments that you need to evaluate day by day, week by week, that is, for the effort that I extend out, what am I getting back?
Yep, yep.
So does that help?
Yes, yes.
Now, yes. If you do it the night before, then you do your visualizations of the next day going just wonderfully. And you do a visualization, and when you notice that there's a part of the visualization that is not flowing, like there's either insecurity or confusion, or you're wondering if I should do this or should I do that, then go back and keep doing the visualization as if you're ironing out the kinks. You're visualizing, I'll do option one, how does that feel? No, that didn't work. I'll do option two, yeah, that feels better. So in other words, you're pre-programming the night before how you want that next day to be.
Yep, yep.
You could also do this, let's say, on a Sunday as you are reviewing the upcoming week. Okay?
Yep.
So this is an organic thing where you get to choose each time, each day, each week, how you're going to organize your time, because there's always going to be something different. Now, if you find that there are other classifications of rate of return that you would like my input on, then that would be something to definitely ask me in the Facebook group. Does that help?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. So it sounds like both of you are doing okay with dealing with your intolerables, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
They're coming along.
Good. Good. All right, let's move to the project. How are you both doing with your project? And do you need any coaching from me? And I want to just tell you, Barb, that you've been drifting through my mind in the last couple of days, and I would like you to tell me honestly, do you want to pursue your project being a $10,000 project completion, or do you feel like you would like to choose a lower price point?
Well, that's a good question. My symbol when I'm visualizing is a green dollar bill with a 10K on it.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know if it's possible.
All right, let me ask you this. I'd like you to close your eyes for a minute. And what we're looking for is your emotional response. And the emotional response is going to be to these two different scenarios. And I'm actually being told to offer three different scenarios. Okay, you ready? And all I want you to do is notice everything that comes up when you think about pursuing a completion project where you sell a $10,000 project, excuse me, a $10,000 package, okay? So the first scenario is you seeing yourself pursuing getting a $10,000 package sold by February. Just notice what comes up. You have a good sense of that?
Yes.
Okay, so now let that one disappear and dissolve. And we're going to do a different one. You ready? Now notice everything that comes up, everything that comes up. When you sense yourself pursuing a completion project of successfully selling a $5,000 package.
Okay.
Good. So let that one dissipate. And here's the third and last one. Now I would like you to focus on seeing yourself, sensing yourself pursuing a $1,500 successfully sold package by February of next year.
Okay,
so which of those three scenarios made you feel the very, very, very best?
Well, the $1,500 one seems possible. The $10,000, I never considered the $10,000 goal as being one event. I was looking at that as a sum total of whatever I did between now and February. So I'm feeling that I have mixed feelings about downgrading because I typically downgrade. But it would be very nice to feel an actual success.
Great. So here's my assignment for you. And that is for you to do this exercise with yourself. And if there's another price point that's beyond the three that I offered, then include that in the process.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And work with it. Work with it with your higher self. Work with it with your negative beliefs being replaced by your positive beliefs. work with it by doing visualizations and knowing which ones feel the best, because it ultimately is your choice and your intuition guiding you.
Yes.
Make sense?
Yes.
Good. Do you feel good about that?
Yes. Yes.
Great, great. Because the key is for you to accomplish your goal by February.
Okay. Yep.
And you're using all these different inner and outer tools to do so.
Yep, yep.
Okay, great. Any questions before I move on to Mary?
No.
Okay. Mary, dear, how are you doing on your completion project, and do you need any coaching from me?
I am journaling the modules, and I've broken it down into small steps. Right now, I don't have any questions for you because I'm creating my content.
Okay, good. So if you have any questions, then find the thread on the Facebook group that is addressing the completion project. I don't remember how I worded it right now, but it's there somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And just tag my name so I can catch the question. The idea is to keep these questions connected to the theme so I can find them and we can
right.
see the progress. By keeping
yeah.
it all on designated threads. Great. Okay. So now we're on the home stretch of today's session, and the only other review question I want to go over before we go into new content is your experience with practicing accelerating your receptivity to receive your intuitive information. And the skills that you learned were slowing your breath down. That was skill number one. Skill number two is center of your head. And skill number three is catching that suspended moment when you ask yourself the question, I wonder from where my next thought will come. Now, we haven't reviewed this in a while. So from whatever time you can remember, when you knew you had to change gears in order to get your intuitive information, do you recall what you did so that you could be maximally receptive to getting help from your intuition?
Well, I know I did slow my breathing down. I don't know that I consciously went to the center of my head, but I slowed my breathing down and sort of wonder what thought I should have now.
Great. And what happens when you did that? Give us a process that went on inside of you and the end result at the end of that process.
I think I was questioning how to respond to an email, and it was one of those, I wasn't feeling especially confident in me, and then when I slowed down, it was just like, wait a minute, you already have had these kind of conversations with about this before, so just craft something to the point and politely decline another visibility opportunity. And that's what I did.
Okay, so you got an answer.
Yeah.
Perfect. And the question you asked was, I wonder what my next thought should be.
Yes.
Beautiful. Excellent. How about you, Barb?
I think that I have embodied this as part of the the mindfulness bell. So that I don't ask it as where will my next thought come from, but the bell signals that to stop and listen for a thought.
Exactly. Excellent. Well, the only thing I want to add with that, which is exactly what the mindfulness bell is supposed to, you know, is one of the reactions it's supposed to benefit you with. The only thing is that there will be times where you don't have the bell going off.
True.
But you want to hone in immediately to get an intuitive guidance. So part of, you know, the home place of both of you, which I'll review later, is to go and practice at least once a day. So this is a definite exercise that I'm asking you to do, because I want to make sure that you get this skill in your bones, like you've got the grounding formula, you know, the energy management formula. You're all really doing well with that. And that is to find one time each day, aside from the mindfulness bell, one time each day, aside from the mindfulness bell, where you are deliberately changing gears inside yourself to be receptive to your intuition. If you want to ask yourself a question, that's fine. Or you may just want to feel the difference. Like I told you that time where I couldn't find my car in the parking lot and I changed gears. Now, yes, I was looking for my car. However, I was going for the feeling first of knowing that I was out of the fast mental pace of my thought process so that I could go right into that zone of my intuition place. You understand what I'm saying? Does everybody follow it? So that's what I'm working on with you now to develop, is being able to just turn the switch on and off. And the three strategies that you have are what I already said, to slow your breathing, the center of head, and asking yourself some version of the question, I wonder from where my next thought will come. That is a home play exercise, please. Okay, now we're going to jump into the new stuff, which is going to be part of your home play as well. And that is, we're working on you putting out a holiday offer. Using all that you've learned, the holiday offer is to talk to you, is to have a discovery session with you. And the discovery session is linked to an offer. Excuse me. Is linked to an offer that you want to make available to them if it's a fit for them. And you have other things in your suite of offers that you also could offer whoever these people are if that particular main holiday offer is not a fit. You understand that part of it?
Yes.
Okay, good. So in the Facebook group, I included some screenshots of stuff from my own website because we're going to be having very specific components to be included in this email that you're going to send out. Now, you're not going to send it out between now and next week. you're going to be uploading drafts into the Facebook group, and I'll be looking them over, and then your home plate in our class number 5 will be to send out your email. So we're going to be using class number 5 to iron out and have you feel really good about your offer and about what you're putting into your email, and also having everything lined up so that when you have your strategy sessions and if people buy something, you've got everything already there to take their money. You've got your electronic calendar ready to go. And for you, Mary, I keep coming back to this. I'm not picking on you. It's just I want you to shine. And for you to have a website landing page that really looks good, which is the centering thing that I keep talking about. Everybody with me so far?
Yes.
Yeah.
So how do you like what I'm saying so far?
Great.
Okay, good. So here are the components that are going to go into this email. And the first is for you to come up with an offer that you want to sell that is going to be a fit with the title of your strategy session. So what that means is if we look at one of my screenshots in the group there, it's further down on the page where it says for class number 4, my marketing message. You see that post? It's about 4 down.
Yes.
Okay. So if you look at that middle screenshot, the name of my usual strategy session is Spiritual Power and Purpose Success Activation, complimentary session. So what I would be offering for a holiday package or a holiday breakthrough session, maybe a 2-hour breakthrough session or a 3-month package, they'll have a choice of one or the other, would have to do with them getting their spiritual power essentials evaluated during my breakthrough session, or I should say my strategy session, and also I would be reviewing with them ways of determining how on purpose or off purpose they are doing in their life and their business. So hence, the offer that I have is going to be addressing their spiritual power and their purpose success in either a 2-hour breakthrough session or a 3-month package. And those are offers that I'm going to be presenting to them. The name of the breakthrough session or strategy session is what you see there. So do you see how the offer is linked to the title?
Yes.
Barb, do you have any questions about that?
No.
Okay. So element number 1 is for you to choose an offer. Now, it could be offers that you already have. You're just going to tweak it so it has this holiday aspect to it. Does everybody understand that? Do you have any questions of how you might do that for your offer? Or are you okay to just take that home and think about it?
Yes, I'm okay to think about it.
Okay, great. And if you have any questions, this is the week for you to ask me questions so that when we get to class number 5, you're really ready to go. We're going to just tweak things and get you launched, okay?
Okay.
Good. Now, so we've got a title that you want to be compelling. It has to be a gripping title. And the way to determine or the way to design a gripping title is to go and think about the things that you know your people struggle with. So in my case, spiritual power and purpose success are the areas that my people want to get good at. So it's part of the title. So you need to go back and think about the results that your offer is going to bring that person, and then find a way of including that to make it a compelling title. You know, copyright safety breakthrough session, or, you know, something like that. And for you, Mary, what do you think might be a good title that's not too intellectual, but it's more emotional? Claim your voice. Claim your message. Be seen and valued breakthrough session, you know, something like that. Blog your way, you know, blog to fame breakthrough session, blog to blog as an expert breakthrough session. You know, you see how I'm looking at the results. The results are you want to do, let's say, something having to do with blogging. Well, what are they going to get out of that? They're going to be heard. They're going to be seen. They're going to be seen as an expert, right?
Right.
And with you, Barb, if you want to focus on copywriting, then you would come up with something. If you don't want to make your offer be about copywriting, if you want it to be about editing something that they're doing or being a ghostwriter for something that they're doing, then think of what would be their pain that your offer would resolve, and then create a title.
Okay.
Is this making sense to both of you?
Yes.
Okay, good. So step number one is get your offer. Step number two is to create a title that's compelling, that includes in it the problem that your offer would solve. Okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Good. Now, the other part of the structure of the email is what we've covered before, and that is for you to have the benefits of what your consultation, what your strategy session is going to do for them, which is why I included that third screenshot. If you click on it, it opens up. And this is what's on my website. These are the benefits that people get if they attend a spiritual power and purpose success activation session with me. And then I have all of those bullets. So I'm suggesting that you brainstorm and work with your higher self. And if you want to create the soul essence of this successful little campaign that you're going to do, then come up with, you know, 5 to 6 benefits that your strategy session will give them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So element number 3 is the benefits of them attending your strategy session, not the benefits of your program or package or service, but just the benefit of having this session with you. Okay?
Okay.
The other component number 4 of your email is at least 1 or 2 success stories, case studies that you would put in there. And you've all received enough emails, including from me, where there's a success story area, more or less. And you have, you know, two or three testimonials there, or one main testimony in there, right? So a case study is included in this. Okay?
Okay.
That's component number five. Component number six is to have your marketing message in there. Now, the marketing message can be at the very top of the email. You know, center it, make it a different font size, maybe make it italic versus straight up and down, so that when they open up your email, immediately they get your message of what you're all about. And so I included my marketing message, which I read to you before. Here it is again. It's also the formula that I'm suggesting is a good formula, is the one that I came up with that I included in that the post that's pinned to the top of the page underneath the purpose of this course, where I say marketing statement formula.
Mm-hmm.
So you can continue to tweak your marketing statement, and you could, you know, stay in touch with each other and me by putting some draft marketing statements in the Facebook group. Just make sure you tag our names or else I'll miss it, so that you can try on different marketing statements. So component number six in your email is going to be your marketing statement as well. That's number six. And the final component of your email is going to be your bio. It's going to be your bio. Okay? Now, at some point, if you feel like you're ready, you could have a simple application that they have to fill out, which is going to be proof that you're not just taking just anybody. And so the body of this first email that you're going to send out is going to say, essentially, that you've got a limited number of slots. You could say, I have six slots remaining, and the application needs to be in by, and then choose like 10 days after the date that we're going to have you send out your email. The psychology is you want to give them, you know, 6 to 10 days to submit the application, and you have a limited amount of slots. Okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you're going to be doing a three-email campaign, the first of which is going to go out close to our fifth session. And essentially what you want to do is every 2 or 3 days, every 3 days you're going to send out another one. And the difference between each of those is just simply giving them some important information, like a mini article, or like it's the education-based marketing, where you're giving them some piece of information that helps them realize that having a conversation with you is going to be valuable. But you can't just say, come talk with me. You want to teach them something where they're able to look upon what you're talking about and be educated as to why what you're talking about is important. You got it?
Yes.
So I'm throwing you into the deep end of the pool here, because you've both been in the industry long enough and you've gotten enough campaign emails from lots of other people that you understand what I'm saying, correct?
Yes. Yes.
So when you create these three different emails, you're going to be stating what the problem is. And you've seen in other people's email subject lines the number one myth to avoid, or the number one problem you're going to have, or you want to avoid this at all costs. That's if you go in the pain direction. If you go in the pleasure and the vision direction, is you can feel free if you do this. You can be safe when you do that. You will show up in your greatness if you do this. So one version goes in the pain direction, the other goes in the hope, the vision, the life you want direction, the vision direction, right?
Right.
So in this campaign of three different emails, do a little bit of one in some of them and a little bit of the other in the others.
Yep.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, as far as the application goes, that does require some software stuff. So to make it easy for you, you simply state at the top of your email somewhere that there are two questions for them to answer. And all they have to do is hit reply to this email and give me your answers in an email, as opposed to the, you know, tracking down a software that embeds these applications where you ask a question and they type directly into it, because I don't think either of you have that, right?
Right.
So real simple, make it easy. You just say, to apply for this opportunity, I have limited slots. You have to let me know by such and such a date. Please answer these two questions. And here's question basically number one, or three questions. And you can listen back to this recording to get the exact wording. Question number one, what is the biggest challenge you're facing in fill in the blank? And because you're going to put in your industry in there. Okay, what's your biggest challenge regarding fill in the blank? You ready for question number two?
Yes.
Yeah.
Question number two, what actions have you pursued to resolve fill in the blank? Let me know when you're ready for number three.
Okay.
Bob, you ready for number three?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. And then the third question is, describe what your life will be like, or describe what your business will be like, whichever fits for you, when you resolve, challenge, fill in the blank. So how is that, guys? Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yes.
So what I'd like you to do for home play is to create a document for us to look at that you're going to upload into the Facebook group, where you are going to include the name of your breakthrough session or your strategy session, and you're going to include three different emails, the text for three different emails, so we can look it over and give you feedback. And that includes the subject line for each one so that it's catchy. It's going to include all the components that I mentioned. And I would like you to have that uploaded 3 days before our next class to give us time to read over each other's stuff and to make comments. Do you think 3 days is enough, or do you want 4 days before our next session?
Session is next week, so
Right. So you tell me what's doable. Do you want to upload your information 3 days before our next session or 4 days before our next session?
Well, I vote for three.
Okay, what about you, Mary?
Yeah, three.
Okay, so 3 days before our next session, you upload it in the files and look over each other's stuff and just make comments and do it in a Word document so that we can, I'm not sure how to do this. I think the way we would have to do this is to save each other's documents to our hard drive and label it with your name so that when you upload it with suggestions, you know, use a different color font and you upload it so it doesn't erase the original document that you uploaded. Make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right, you save as. Change that.
Right, you save as. But put your name in there so we know that the comments are coming from you. Like maybe Mary comments and then Barb's name for the name of her document.
Right.
All right, so this is a recording that I'm going to urge you to listen to at least once through. And let's conclude by you taking some deep breaths and seeing if you have any questions for me. We'll start there, then we'll do a round of highlights, and then we'll call it a day. No questions?
No questions.
Awesome. How about you, Mary? Any questions from you?
No questions. I just need to go back and listen to the recording to absorb things.
Right.
And
right.
It was a good review to go over everything that we've learned. And the receiving intention, that was a good reminder.
What was that?
Receiving intention. Practicing that once a day to slow down the breath and ask, what will my next thought be, come from?
Right, right. Great. And what were the highlights of the class for you, Mary? And then I'll move on to Barbara.
That was, you know, reviewing what we've done so far and laying in a deeper understanding of the chakra and the mindfulness bell.
Great. Anything else you want to add as a highlight from today?
No, that's a lot.
Yes. No, I know you guys are reeling. This was a big swallow, but that's what you're paying for.
Right.
Okay, Barb, honey, what were some of the highlights for you? And do you have any questions?
Well, I agree with Mary that listening to the tape again, the recording will be very helpful. I liked reviewing all of the...
Can you get closer to the phone, my dear?
Yeah, I liked reviewing all the various aspects, and it reminded me of things that I haven't done. For example, where will my next thought come from? And I appreciated how you spelled out very clearly our next steps, our home play.
Great. Yes, that's the whole point. so great. Thank you. I uploaded into the Facebook group those three questions that you would be asking of your people as possible application questions.
Yeah.
So you've got that as a visual cue. And other than that, I'm just encouraging you to really ask me questions during this week. I'll look for everybody's documents in the files section. And have an awesome, awesome week. Use your visualizations starting tonight of you successfully putting together a campaign and making some money.
Right.
Because money is love.
Yes.
Okay, speaking of love, I love you guys.
Love you too.
Love you too.
And send me your emails as far as either way if you want some more extra Thanksgiving sessions. And I think that's everything, right?
I think right.
So. Okay. Have a good evening. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.